This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Mysterious drones flying over the skies of North Jersey right now as the FBI, the state police are asking for people's help. And a buddy of mine up there just said this has been going on for days, weeks. They don't know what the hell these things are. And this should be a bigger story. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Yeah, remember that Chinese spy balloon that flew over the United States of America? These drones up in North Jersey are apparently the size of a car, and they're in five or six of them in patterns, and they've been up there in the skies for 12 hours or more. Nobody knows where the hell they are. So the Morris County Sheriff and Somerset County, New Jersey as well, which is part of our listening area. I mean, the whole world is our listening area, thanks to the free Odyssey app, which is a wonderful app to use, obviously. Love it. And so we have our listeners everywhere. But yeah, so these Morris County, Somerset County, North Jersey, these big car sized drones up in the sky, and nobody knows what the hell they are. So I don't know. But it does remind me of that Chinese spy balloon that flew coast to coast until Mama Zeoli reported that they were blowing it up off the shores of South Carolina. Mama Zeoli, our special reporter on the ground, I think they're blowing it up. So we will have to see what all that is. But the one thing I do know is that I have no faith in Joe Biden, no faith in this country, in this government right now, no faith whatsoever. So as far as they could be freaking North Korean drones for all I know. Oh, by the way, South Korea has declared martial law, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Residents in Chicago are up in arms over the fact that the mayor of Chicago wants to fight the Trump administration on deportations, raise taxes. And Chicago residents are flipping out over this. And we have new details on the final report of the COVID Select Subcommittee on the origins of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. It's a 582-page final report. And guess what? And I know this is going to shock you, so buckle up. I was just as shocked as you were to learn this. Turns out COVID, I know, didn't come from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. Who could have seen this coming? It came from a lab. I know. I'm shocked. You're shocked. We're all shocked because they told us there was no way it came from a lab. And it turns out that Peter Daszak, that jerk from Eco Health Alliance, they were investigating that guy because of the gain-of-function research and the lab leak years ago. So, and obviously, if you're new to the show, that's my sarcasm. Of course, I knew it came from a lab. I've been saying that since March of 2020. And it's always been my firm belief in that. And even when people called me a conspiracy nut, and even when we had people like Joy Reid say the debunked bunkum of that, and all the other things that occurred, I still double down on the fact that it was by far, no doubt about it, it was from a lab. It was from a lab, and that's the bottom line. And I was even told at one point, stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. It's enough already. But I never did. I wouldn't. I refused. I remember driving to work one day and one of the local radio stations said the debunked lab leak theory. And I thought, debunked by who? Who debunked it? Fauci? Anthony Fauci, it's not Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, of course. Who debunked it? Him? That guy? The guy who paid for it? No, no, no. The fact is that COVID-19 came from a lab. COVID-19 was created by the Chinese government using our taxpayer dollars. It was weaponized by the Chinese military and released against the American military in the fall of 2019 at the Military World Games. Tell me I'm wrong. Show me the evidence that I'm wrong. First time COVID ever entered the streets of Wuhan was when the American military was over there for the Military World Games. Now, luckily, these guys are fit. The elite of the elites. And so they were good to go. But had they not been the elites of the elites, well, they might have brought back a big virus back to America. And it turns out that the virus spread quickly in Wuhan. China locked everything down, but they did send people on flights around the world to help spread it. I have no doubt in my mind this was biowarfare. Prove me wrong. I remember Tom Cotton saying it back in the winter of 2020. Prove him wrong. But immediately we were told, and this is the big lesson of everything, whether it's the Hunter Biden laptop story or Joe Biden won't pardon his son or Joe Biden had no business dealings with his son or I mean, whatever else you want to come up with, whatever other thing we were lied to about. Immediately, it was dismissed and the corporate media and big tech did their thing so that anybody who talked about the lab leak was shut down, silenced, mocked, humiliated. And then all the emails came out of Fauci and Daszak and all the other people going on and on about how they got to cover the fact up that they paid for this thing and created this thing. So it's all there, you know, and it's and we'll go through it in great detail in the next couple days. But what I'm really excited about is Senator Rand Paul is going to get the gavel come January. And Senator Rand Paul is ready to take that gavel and smack it across the proverbial head of Dr. Fauci. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to actually smack it across Fauci's head, but he's not going to do that. He's a physician, after all. So it's, you know, he's got to heal, do no harm. But he will knock it across the proverbial head of one Anthony Fauci, no doubt about it. And that'll be something glorious for all of us to see. He will hold these people accountable. Now, the question is, will Hunter Biden be held accountable? I was listening to the House Ways and Means chairman who was on Fox News earlier today with John Roberts. John Roberts asked the chairman, do you intend to call Hunter Biden before your committee? And I know this is going to shock you, but he said no. He has no plans to call Hunter Biden before his committee. And he also said that he's going to demand answers from the Department of Justice and the FBI because they were stalling Congress the whole time because it was an ongoing investigation. But now that Hunter Biden has received a presidential pardon, they can now get the answers they need from the DOJ and the FBI and on. But then John Roberts went back to him and said, but you're not going to bring Hunter Biden before your committee. And he said, we have no plans to bring Hunter Biden before our committee. Said, okay. So we'll see. I'll talk to Congressman Dan Muser about that in just a few moments. Actually, he's going to join the show. We rarely have guests this early in the show, but what the heck? Accommodate a schedule. Dan's a good guy and he's a friend of the show. So happy to do it. Meanwhile, we are streaming live on YouTube. 1210 WPHD is our stream, and you can join the fun. And we'd love you to join the fun. And the big story of the day is brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. You know what? It's almost the end of the year. Do you have unused dental benefits? Well, call his office now and see what they can do. 856-786-2020 or VenariaDental.com. My dentist, my buddy, my friend, and the master of dental implants. And yes, Mama Zioli did discover him. And speaking of Mama Zioli, as I mentioned to you, these drones over North Jersey, which nobody can figure out. Let me read you a text I got from a buddy of mine up there. What he sent to me, this is a friend of mine who I've been involved in politics for a long time. Here's what he said. He said, to tell you the truth, the other night at about 3 a.m., I was up and looking out the window, and I saw this real bright object in the distance. I knew it wasn't a star and thought it might be a planet, but it was way too big. And then the story came out the next day. I believe we have a news report, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, of ABC 7. This is out of New York City. The local affiliate there, ABC 7 out of New York, the FBI is seeking the public's help to try to figure out what the hell these things are. Take a listen.
FBI is now getting involved in an investigation into these mysterious, apparently small car-sized drones that people are spotting flying over New Jersey in the middle of the night. Look at this. One woman there took the video you're seeing. So that's it. It looks like it's flying pretty low. And from that perspective, it looks very large, right? And all those lights in the sky that you see those lights? Those are apparently drones as well, they say, seeming to fly in a V formation. But the whole saga stressing people out nearby.
We're all completely unnerved. I didn't sleep last night. When I would get up and look out my window at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., they were still hovering. I got up at 5:30 this morning, and they were still there. As the sun was starting to rise.
We'll come back to this and see. And Kirk, see if we can load this up to share with everybody visually a little bit later in the show. But that's happening right now. And they do have some cool videos and pictures of it, which we'll share with you if you're streaming on the YouTube and you can chat along with it. But we don't know what these things are. And, you know, call me crazy, but I remember that Chinese spy balloon going across the country. I remember, we all remember it. And what the hell, why didn't they shoot it down sooner is my question. It went all the way till it hit the coast of South Carolina. And then we had our correspondent on the beach that day, Mama Zioli, and of course, the very famous reporting that she did. Here, take a listen. Go ahead.
I think they're blowing it up.
Yeah, that's true. And they did. They did. They wound up blowing it up, but not until it went from the West Coast all across the country to the East Coast was the Chinese spy balloon blown up and all the pictures were sent back to China. That's what happened. So now we have these drones in North Jersey. We don't know what they are. I'm just waiting for somebody to start shooting at them. I mean, it is Jersey after all. And they're apparently in clusters of five or six at a time, hovering over the for 12 hours at a time. It's freaking people out up there. And it eventually will become a very big national story. It hasn't yet, but it will be in due time. I just sent it to a couple friends of mine over at Fox News who were unaware of the story, believe it or not. So I am sharing it with them. We have some people on some people who shared it with me on Twitter earlier today. So thank you for that. Told you the whole show is a team effort. It really is. You contribute a lot to it. So thank you for that. As far as this idea from Joe Manchin of pardoning Donald Trump, no. And President Trump should reject the pardon if he's offered a pardon. No, he shouldn't. No, absolutely not. You know why? Because Donald Trump didn't do anything wrong. That's why. And I don't want Joe Biden to pardon Donald Trump to think that it's okay what he did with his son Hunter. I heard Charlemagne the God going on about how the Democrat Party needs to stop pretending like it has the moral high ground. I heard Charles Payne this morning on with Dana Perino, and Charles Payne was telling this very heartbreaking story of his brother, who's getting out of jail on Friday, who was sentenced to jail for doing crack. And he's been in jail for, I don't know, 10, 20 years, a very long time, and he's getting out soon. And Charles Payne was like, you know, it doesn't matter that it's your son. It doesn't matter that your son was on drugs. There are a lot of people who have sons on drugs, family members on drugs, who've watched those family members go to jail for crimes they've committed. And you know what? They don't get presidential pardons with blanket immunity from 2014 to 2024. There are a lot of people out there who are hurting, a lot of people who go to visit friends and family on the weekends for nonsense crimes that they're in prison for in this country, particularly around drugs. And Joe Biden's argument is, I'm doing this as a loving father, as my son was addicted to drugs. First of all, nobody should believe that. It's a load of BS. Joe Biden pardoned himself vis-a-vis his son, Hunter Biden. I just want to keep saying that till eventually it becomes what everybody's saying, because it's the truth. Joe Biden technically pardoned Hunter, but he pardoned himself by doing so, because now it all goes away. And the spine, and look, I know one thing, and that is that all of this going back to 2014 when Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma. And that's where the pardon starts, and it ends now, and it covers everything in between for anything Hunter may or may not have done, whether he was charged or not. And it's a blanket pardon. It has nothing to do with drugs and nothing to do with his drug use. Nothing. Biden could have theoretically pardoned him for the form lying on the gun form because he was addicted to drugs, but let all the other stuff stand. But see, it's the other stuff that implicates Joe Biden. The gun charge was always the MacGuffin to keep the whole plot moving. You know what I mean? But it was always about the financial crimes of the president of the United States of America. With that, let's join our buddy, Congressman Dan Muser. He represents Congress in Pennsylvania in the House of Representatives, I should say. And he's a fighter for freedom and liberty. And he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. How you doing, Congressman?
Rich, I appreciate that introduction. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm frustrated, as I'm sure you are, by this pardon of Hunter Biden. And it's really amazing to me that he's going on there and saying, oh, my son was addicted to drugs. And, you know, how many people out there have a family member in jail because of drugs and they don't get a presidential pardon?
Yeah, it's really revolting. The American people are really shaken by this and frustrated, and it certainly erodes any trust that still exists, for crying out loud. And you can't blame people. I mean, here you have Joe Biden. I mean, the lies that have come out of that administration, not just from him, but from his spokespersons and his defenders, and of course the media. And this is just the next chapter in the book on the Biden family named The Profiles in Corruption. I mean, let's face it. They lied about whether or not he knew about his son's business. No, he never discussed it. Then there's photos, there's golf outings, there's dinners, there's millions and millions and millions of money transferred. And then the lies with his the different issues. Afghanistan was a wonderful exit from a 20-year war. I mean, they just you know, do one thing and certainly say another. And here again, you know, from the Hunter laptop and now this, where they're saying they're not going to pardon him. And of course, I certainly believed he was going to. And they just think lying is just a part of life, a part of business. It's horrible.
It really is. And I think that it's so obvious that it goes back to 2014 when Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma, that this covers up any involvement that Joe Biden may have had as vice president of the United States, because he had the Ukraine portfolio. And we all know that he went over there and he bullied them into firing the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma.
Well, that's exactly what happened. If anyone ever needs any proof of the leverage that Hunter had with his then vice president father, and then of course it continued when they were out of office, and who knows while he was president of the United States. But yes, publicly he threatened to withhold $1 billion of not Joe Biden's money, the American taxpayer money, right, to if a certain prosecutor in Ukraine was not terminated, that was investigating the company that was paying Hunter, whatever it was, $90,000 a month plus other bonuses. So it's just pretty outrageous. I mean, it's just a regular stream of corruption. And look, it's hard for any to hide from it. I mean, you know, the media, whether or not they're embarrassed or not, they certainly should be. I mean, you've got the Democrats stating that this is certainly an erosion of trust and a contradiction to what he has stated for all this time. It's bad news. And meanwhile, you know, the American people know. I mean, this guy from tax evasion to unlawful handling of a firearm, possession of a firearm, to other matters, his drug taking and all. He's just a mess, and he got away with it.
Can Congress do anything at this point, and you think that they will?
Well, you know, that's an interesting debate. I have some that say to me, look, we got to look ahead. Some of my constituents, we need to solve problems. We need to grow our economy. We need to strengthen our country. We need to implement the America First. Let's focus there. And then others say that, you know, you can't let people just get away because their last name is whatever it might be, in this case, Biden, to with completely unaccountable. So I think Jamie Comer is his committee is going to continue investigating. He's going to show that the corruption did exist. Look, that's just one committee out of many, so it's not going to take our eye off the ball. And many think that this was something Joe Biden did really in the end to protect himself. Because if his son gets continued to get investigated, Joe will be found guilty and culpable as well. So it's just a whole family of corruption, and people can't stand the double standard, and it's just beyond shady. It's criminal. It's corrupt.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. This is Joe Biden effectively pardoning himself to cover up for his involvement in all this. But you are a member of the House Committee on Financial Services and a member of the House Committee on Small Business. And this is an exciting week for you because DOGE, which is one of my favorite things ever, and Elon Musk, right, the DOGE father, and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to be briefing members of the House later this week. Your committees and Congressman Dan Muser, your role in all this is huge. I mean, you're a guy who gets it. You want to see spending cut. You want to see the size of government shrink. You get it. These guys are saying all the right things. Talk to me about what we can look forward to here.
Well, I will tell you, DOGE could not come soon enough. There is, in my view, at least $1 trillion that can be reduced, eliminated, phased out. And there are not a trillion people, but literally thousands. A lot of money can be saved if this DOGE is given the authority, and we know it will because the President Trump said it would, and we've got people like Elon Musk and my friend Vivek Ramaswamy on the leading this effort. We're going to see some big changes. Like just for instance today, I mean, Vivek brought out the non-government offices.
The NGOs
have received nearly $39 billion over the course of the last, even as short as 12 months, via other agencies. So it's things like that that, you know, certainly not just add up, but are outrageous. These non-authorized, basically, entities receiving this level of taxpayer dollars. That's just one example. I mean, we can certainly reduce the size of various or all government agencies, in my view. We can root out waste, abuse, and fraud. Contracting needs to be reviewed. You know, the Pentagon fails all of its budgets that have taken place over the last several years. So there's a lot to do, and it has to be done. You know, we're reaching $36 trillion, as you well know, Rich, in federal debt. And on top of that, the service on the debt is absolutely breathtaking, $960 billion this year, more than our defense budget. So there's a lot of work to be done. These guys are smart. They're going to be bringing in the right team. Yeah, we have in the House put together a DOGE caucus that, of course, I'm a member of. Yeah. I'm going to be digging in here as much as I can. I mean, and as you said, there's so many great things we're going to do. We're going to close the border. We're going to strengthen our economy. We're going to keep taxes at a competitive rate. We're going to start winning on our exports. Our goods and services are going to be sold around the world. We're going to bring stability. We see that already. And as well, we're going to begin getting to a point where we're going to balance the budget. That's going to be through growth, which means more revenues. Not more taxes, but more taxpayers. And it means cutting the waste, abuse, and fraud and all the other fat from our federal government.
And Congressman Dan Muser, you're a guy who, I mean, I was watching you on Twitter, and you should follow him, by the way, at Rep Muser, M-E-U-S-E-R. Small Business Saturday, you're out there fighting for small businesses all the time in Washington. For a lot of small businesses, and you know this better than anybody, the crippling amount of red tape that they have to deal with just to survive on so many various levels, and obviously you can only deal with the federal level, but on the federal side, I mean, there's so much crushing regulation, red tape, bureaucracy that these small businesses have to deal with.
Yeah. Well, there sure is. And that is something that we are going to be tackling, that the Trump White House is going to expect us in Congress to act wherever needed on legislation, but as well from a regulatory standpoint. The Chevron decision will allow a tremendous amount of breaking up of the rulemaking of the of these agencies, where their word is the last word, which is bunk, particularly when it's beyond the intent of Congress. So, look, we need to deregulate permitting. We need to deregulate, minimize the IRS hassles that are created. These things need to be automated better. We need to look after small businesses like it's our child. And you want to know what? The state of Pennsylvania had better do a better job, because there are states like Florida, Texas, of course, Georgia, Tennessee, Indiana. You know, Indiana, Rich, is literally kicking our tail in Pennsylvania on best places to build and grow a business. People are moving there. It's becoming a center for technology, for AI, for data centers, and they're doing a lot of right things. And atop of the list is working for small business, not working against. And we're not doing that in Pennsylvania, boy. I'll tell you, so we're going to be doing so many great things that there's going to be such a rising tide throughout our nation. My only real concern is that Pennsylvania gets left behind, because we don't have the leadership, we don't have the vision, we don't have the plan, we don't have the execution. I'm not sure if we have the understanding in the governor's office of how bad DEP is and how badly it treats businesses and farmers and builders and everybody else that has to deal with them. And that has to be corrected. We're just hurting ourselves.
Damn right it does. Damn right. Congressman, appreciate it very much. Follow him on Twitter at Rep Muser. Thank you for your hard work on this. It's cool you're on the Doge caucus, and I look forward to chatting with you a lot going forward as we do some really great things here.
Sounds great. I'll keep you updated, Rich. Thanks again for the opportunity.
You bet. Thank you, Dan.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so listen, we got a big show. We got a lot going on. The verdict in the New York City subway death case. Daniel Penny is on trial for his life, and it's ridiculous. He should not be there. We'll talk about that today. That could happen during the show. The verdict could come out. The jury asked to rehear some instructions. This man should not be on trial. Absolutely not. The fact that he's a Marine, they're actually using that against him. We'll talk more about the Hunter Biden laptop, these mysterious drones in North Jersey. We got a lot going on. But I want to tell you, as a business owner, you got to think about safety and security. It's got to be a top priority for you. And that's why McCausland Lock and Alarm is your go-to. Now, look, there's a lot of security companies out there, a lot of alarm companies. So what separates McCausland Lock and Alarm from the others? Great question. Number one, it's Tom McCausland. He's a great local guy. He's an expert in what he does. And when you have an issue, you're going to deal with Tom directly. You're not going to get stuck in one of those 800 number death loops. I hate those things. And he's going to customize a solution for you. We're talking about CCTV cameras, closed circuit cameras, so you can monitor who's in your facilities, a key card system to monitor who gets access to your facilities and when. State of the art, but on a budget, you'll be able to handle and keep your facilities safe and secure. In this day and age, you got to have it. So reach out to him today. And I'm telling you, you'll appreciate the great work that he does. He's a really good guy, and I've got to know the family personally. They've done so much over the years for the Travis Mannion Radiothon, and I'm grateful for all the hard work of McCausland Lock and Alarm. So reach out to them today, and you'll be very, very happy with the work that they do. And remember something, and this is a key point. When it comes to safety and security, in a time when crime is rising everywhere, and if you don't have the right answers, You're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck. And that's why McCausland Lock and Alarm is there for you. Tom's a good man. You'll like it. And by the way, we have our Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon coming up soon. And McCausland Lock and Alarm will be there once again to help all of us. 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the YMCA story is amazing. They love Trump. They love the fact that Trump has brought this song back. And the guy who wrote the song had a lot of things to say about it. It is not the gay anthem. He didn't write it to be the gay anthem. That was not what he did. It wasn't his thing. Wasn't trying to Make It the Gay Anthem, and YMCA by the Village People, even though the guy who sang it was gay, and they were probably gay. It was just talking about the fact that that's what they had. He said, you got basketball, you got all these things going on there, and he says you can hang out with other guys. It's like he said that was like a black thing. It's how we talked. You hang out with the brothers. You know what I mean? Hang out with the brothers over there, as Barack Obama would put it. So that's really good stuff. And that song, of course, is something that Donald Trump now, that dance has become symbolic with everything. But the most fascinating part of the story is that earlier today on the Dom Giordano show, I heard Dan Borosky say one of the Village People hit on him. And then they just kind of glossed over that fact. Matt DeSantis, do you know the story of how Dan was hit on by a member of the Village People? I don't know if it was the Indian, the cop, the...
I've never heard this story, no. I'm intrigued, though. I'd like to learn more.
Yeah, Big Dan, of course, the Dawn's producer. I'd like to know more details about this, too, because he threw it out in passing. He's like, well, the cowboy hit on me. And then just, like, let it go. I mean, like, you can't just throw, like, the Village People hit on me and then just walk away.
No one followed up?
No, they just kind of moved on. Dom and Henry, they just... And I literally texted those two. I was like, are we just going to gloss over the fact you just said, remember the Village People hit on you? And neither one of them wrote me back. So
in the studio behind me. I can ask him if he has a minute.
Yeah, see if he can come on the air, Justin, if you don't mind. I'd like to get to the bottom of this and find out which member of the Village People actually hit on Big Dan. Because, I mean, Big Dan is an incredibly attractive guy. There's no doubt about it. But it's just I'm not sure if the one that hit on him is the one that I would have had in my Village People pool. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's the thing. Village People founder doubles down on letting Trump use YMCA and slams the idea that it was the gay anthem. That's right. Village People founder Victor Willis, who's the cop, is once again tackling two issues surrounding the disco band's 1970 smash hit YMCA, Donald Trump's use of the track in his 2024 presidential campaign, and the characterization of the song as a gay anthem. In a lengthy Facebook post yesterday, the 73-year-old singer-songwriter doubled down on why he chose to let the president play YMCA at rallies and events leading up to his win in November. He said, quote, he didn't have the heart to block the usage, despite originally asking Trump to stop in 2020. Upon realizing that the politician seemed to genuinely like and was having a lot of fun with YMCA. Plus, as Willis noted, the dance tune has only benefited greatly in terms of chart placements and sales since the twice impeached former POTUS incorporated into his campaign. I'm reading this from Yahoo, so they have to mention that, you know, obviously. Therefore, I'm glad I allowed the president-elect's continued use of YMCA, and I thank him for choosing to use my song.
What do you want?
Oh, hello, Big Dan. How are you, buddy?
I'm working on a parody Christmas album with Earl of Tacony right now, and you call me over, and I hear you're making fun of me. What's going on here?
I'm not making fun of you. I'm impressed that you were hit on by a member of the Village People.
Oh, come on. You're bringing that up again? That was like a slight remark on the Dom show today, kind of a passing remark, and you're going to make a whole thing about it now? You're going to call me a Polack, too, while you're at it, Rich?
Listen, first of all, I would never call you a Polack, because I'm not a Polack, so I can't say that. I could call you a greaseball if you were Italian, but you're not Italian, so I can't say that about you.
Still greasy, though.
Don't change the subject. In the middle of the Dom show, as you guys are talking about the YMCA thing, you just drop this bomb on everybody that a member of the Village People hit on you, and then you guys just moved on and just completely talked about something else.
I think Dom's just used to that at this point. Say something random like, yeah, so back probably now 8 years ago, I want to say, I was doing an event at Boogie Nights out in Atlantic City. I think it's part of Tropicana. Yeah, part of Tropicana. And they were doing like a New Year's event or something, and the featured guest was Randy Jones, the cowboy from the Village People. And we were kind of hanging out behind the scenes, and we hit it off as friends. You know, we were having a good conversation, and I guess he must have thought something because he ends the conversation by inviting me back to his room. And
which one is he? Is he the Indian or the cop or the which
cowboy,
one is he?
The cowboy. I found out today, though. I said on air.
Can you put Dan on the camera? Can we get Dan on camera for this right now? I want everybody to know how attractive Dan is.
I'm not attractive. That's the thing. And that's why it's still like such a thing to me, is because I've never been hit on a celebrity besides the cowboy from the Village People. So it's a source of pride for me, Rich.
You've never been hit on by a celebrity in your life?
Have you been hit on by a celebrity? Don't act like you have.
Oh, many times.
Oh, who? But
who are you getting hit on? What's the word for it? Women. Right. That's the only thing. That was the
give me one example, Rich. Come on.
I can't. I had to sign NDAs.
All these NDAs. That's why.
These trips to Fox News. Why? You don't think celebrities hit on me? Come on. I got to swat them off. Swat them off left and right.
Maria Bartiromo coming at you pretty hard, Rich.
Listen, Jimmy Fallon hit on me multiple times, asked me to go back to his room. But that's
Jimmy
a whole other story
female,
for another night.
You just said it was all females, and now...
Well, he depends on the day.
2024.
So now, do you keep in touch with the cowboy from
Randy
Village
Jones?
People?
No. I met him like three times. That was the first time. The other two times were pretty awkward. But I was nice. I said, no, sir. You know, I happen to have a girlfriend. He's like, oh, really?
Oh, his gaydar was up on you.
I think so.
Oh, amazing.
Is that something you know what? Maybe we shouldn't go down this path.
Well, thank you, Dan. Should we let him go back and do his Christmas album? This is very awkward for him, and he looks like Bigfoot with that reflection of him on the main studio glass right now. It's like a Bigfoot
sighting.
Like Bigfoot
without the reflection, I mean.
Broke back talk radio. No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm proud of Dan. I'm impressed. I really am.
Is Minnie in the chat making fun of me or something?
Dan, have you ever gone as a member of the Village People for Halloween?
No.
Would you?
I did dress as a cop when I was like 10 years old, though. I don't know if I was pre-Village People, maybe.
Well, thank you, Dan. We appreciate your service to America.
Thank you for throwing me under the bus. I appreciate it.
No, it was our honor to have you on. And Maisie got a real man right there. So
yes.
Keep him close. Keep him close, Maisie. All right. Very good. Dan Borowski, of course, the executive producer of The Dawn Show. You can hear every day from 10 to noon our dear friend Dawn Stensland. And, of course, on the Dom Giordano program every day from 12 to 3. We do a little crossover action like that. It's like promoting other shows, what we should be doing all the time. They do on Fox News all the time. Ow! All right, so I took off, you notice I took off my quarter zip if you're streaming on YouTube because I get so friggin' hot doing the show because I get all fired up. But so anyway, the Village People, YMCA, Trump, they love it. They're making millions off it. He's made YMCA great again. He's made the Village People great again. And it's not a gay anthem. He said, that's how we used to talk. You can hang out with all the other guys. It's how the black guys talk to each other in the neighborhood back then. Bottom line. So there you go. All right. So a lot more to get to as the show progresses here. Let me play a clip for you. This is Joe Manchin saying Biden should pardon Trump. I completely and utterly disagree with this 150%. And I'll tell you why. But first, let's take a listen. And this is the big story of the hour. Well, I did the big story there. I'll come back to that. This is Joe Manchin saying Biden should pardon Trump. Cut number five.
Hunter was singled out because he broke the law.
As a father,
I don't know of a father that wouldn't have done the same thing. What I would have done differently, my recommendation as a counsel would have been, why don't you go ahead and pardon Donald Trump for all his charges and make it, you know, it'd have gone down a lot more balanced, if you will. I'm just saying, wipe them out.
Okay? What do you think this does for his legacy?
I don't know. From that standpoint, it makes it difficult.
First of all, Donald Trump did nothing wrong. And he should not be pardoned because he didn't do anything wrong. And he should reject the pardon if Joe Biden tries to offer it to him. And this is the thing. If Joe Biden tries to do this to show to pretend like this isn't political, it'll be the ultimate distraction. Just understand that, OK? It will be the ultimate distraction if Joe Biden does that. Because this pardon of his son is 100% political. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And it's entirely done to cover up the crimes of Joe Biden. Bottom line, that's what it is. You know it, and I know it. And so if they try to say we're going to pardon Donald Trump in the name of unanimity, in the name of being magnanimous, it's all BS. And Trump did nothing wrong, and he should reject the pardon. And the other reason why Joe Biden might decide to do it is because nothing can happen to Trump while he's president anyway. What, is his own Department of Justice going to go after him? Of course not. And besides, there's DOJ guidelines about going after a sitting president. But Trump didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong. As the Supreme Court has said in the immunity case, so it's all over. It's done. But it would be a cheap political stunt if Joe Biden tries to do it. And look, I wouldn't doubt it if he did try to do it. It's something I would not doubt. But I'd be very, very concerned if that were to occur. And I don't think Trump would take it. I think he's smart enough to see through that. Smart enough to see right through it. Just like we all saw through the lies of COVID-19 when they said it was an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. As the House committee says, COVID came from the lab. No doubt. Absolutely right, 100%. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on. We're streaming live on YouTube. We're going to be live at the Grand Hotel on December 20th for our next live show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'd love for you to join us for that. And Saturday night, I'll be on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla. That's going to be a lot of fun as well. So join the show for that. 10 p.m. on Fox News. It's going to be a blast, Fox News Saturday night. Oh, and Charlemagne the God criticizing Democrats, I think, really goes to the heart of the Democrats' problem, which is they got a problem with black voters, Latino voters, men, working class voters. They got problems all over the place. But the impact of this pardon on people who are hurting, and Charlemagne the God does a very good job of explaining exactly that. And this is what he said in his radio show, which, remember, is a very large black, mostly black audience. It's an urban show. It's a show that, you know, he was very critical of Kamala Harris multiple times. And if you remember during the campaign, he said during the campaign that ad that Trump ran with the transgender surgeries for criminals, he said that was an outstanding ad to run during football games. Loved it. Loved that ad. It was very powerful. He was talking about black men who watched that being like, what the hell are you talking about? What's going on here? This is what Charlemagne the God said about the pardon. Take a listen.
Hunter was singled out because he broke the law. That's number one. He was singled out because he had an illegal gun and tax evasion charges, not because he was the president's son. And I honestly don't care. I just want Democrats to stop acting like they are on this moral high ground politically when they have shown us they're not, you know, whether it's skipping the primary process when Biden stepped down and things like Biden pardoning his son. Stop acting like y'all the pure party and Republicans aren't. And it also shows me elected officials can do whatever they want as long as they have the political will and courage to do it.
There you go. See, it's an F you to a lot of brothers. It's an F you to a lot of people. Listen, when it comes to being online in this day and age, you better have Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo, because if you don't, you're going down to the Wild West on your own. And that's crazy. You should never do that. Here's the thing. Right now, you get a free 30-day trial of Privacy Pro. I signed up right away because it's essential that I have that level of protection. Comes with three things. It's 3-in-1 built-in privacy protection. You get the secure VPN, so you can make sure that whenever you are online, whether you're home, at work, on the road, your data is encrypted and nobody can get to it. Number two, identity theft restoration, if God forbid your identity is ever stolen. And three, personal data removal. It's constantly scanning the internet, finding personal details about you, and scrubbing them for good. It's great. It's a must-have. Let's focus on that VPN for a second. Every time you sit down and use a public Wi-Fi or you're at home using your Wi-Fi, your internet provider can see everything that you're doing. You're being tracked. You're being followed. You're being profiled. Don't do that. The VPN from DuckDuckGo, Privacy Pro, encrypts your data. That's what you need. And that's why I use it. And you should use it too. So just go to DuckDuckGo.com/1210. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Do it now and sign up and get the 30-day free trial at DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Do it now.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, it's that time of year. We're almost to the end of it, though, which is crazy. And then before you know it, we'll be at the inauguration. And then before you know that, we are going to be dealing with the new president and his people and his team. It's going to be great. Transition is going to be amazing. I really feel good about the way things are going to go. But let's think about the roadblocks along the way, shall we? And one of those major roadblocks, of course, is Mitch McConnell, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and that new guy from Utah. These are people that are standing in Trump's way. And why are they standing in Trump's way? Because they believe that they are the old guard designed to preserve the decorum and blah, blah, blah. And they hate Trump and they're never Trumpers. That's the bottom line. They are never Trumpers. But here's a question I have for these never Trumpers. What are you going to do when Donald Trump has such overwhelming support and you've got people coming out left and right and saying things like Kash Patel would be an outstanding FBI director, for example? He'd be great. He would do a great job. Pam Bondi will make a great attorney general. Pete Hegseth will do an outstanding job as a defense secretary. What are you senators going to do? You're going to get a lot of backlash from your own people. And maybe you don't care because you're going to be there for 6 years and you just don't care. You think you'll outlast Trump. But the real question I have for the other Republicans is, are you going to let four people stand in the way of you guys and all of us actually accomplishing things in this country? Are we going to let four people do that? That's what I have a question about, because I don't think they should be able to. They should have the right. The president of the United States should have the right to put his people in who he believes will best serve him and best help him achieve the job that the American people elected him to do. And you know what the job is? Go in there and disrupt. Disrupt the hell out of that place. Go in there and disrupt the hell out of that place. But Senate Republicans are open to giving Kash Patel a chance. Well, of course they should be open to giving him a chance. He deserves more than a chance. He's an incredibly accomplished guy who understands how the national security world works. One of the senators said, I don't know Cash. This is Joni Ernst, who I like. And I think Joni Ernst is doing a great job with Doge. Said, I don't know Cash. And that's why I think he's going to be great, she said. We really do need good people who will go in and shake up some of these organizations. I don't know him. That's her point. And it's good because he's not a swamp creature. It's the opposite. He's the guy that's gone in there and he has battled these people. He has seen firsthand what they are capable and what they're capable of achieving, including bringing down a president of the United States of America. Tom Tillis of North Carolina says he doesn't have any initial concerns and he plans to meet with him. John Cornyn of Texas said there's a process to vet all the nominees and give everybody a chance to ask those questions during the hearing. Fair enough. But you know exactly who I mean when we talk about the people that were worried about saying no to Kash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, and Bobby Kennedy. It's four people. But particularly, it's all being led by Mitch McConnell, who still thinks he can control the Senate even though he's no longer the majority leader. It's the truth. That's what's happening. The question is, will Thune be strong enough to stand up to McConnell? Will he be able to wield the power as majority leader to get these other four never-Trump Republicans to go along with Trump's program or not? That's the question. That's what you have to watch right there. Senator Rick Scott said, Kash Patel is clearly committed to making sure we have a lethal military that scares the crap out of our enemies. Good. That's what we need. Peace through strength. And to end the spying, the warrantless spying of American citizens, which, by the way, in the 4 o'clock hour, I'll share one of the most ironic clips for you of some loser on TV saying that's why Kash Patel should not get the job because he will spy on American citizens. Are you kidding me? These people have no sense of irony whatsoever. All right. We got a big 4 o'clock hour. Chairman Michael Whatley of the RNC, the man himself, will join me. So don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.